welcome to the third episode of Ozcast, the Australian Rooster Teeth Community Podcast. I'm Nightwolf12, and this week I'm joined with co-host Cool Katie and filling in for Leprechaun Rattles. This week we will be asking both Cool Katie and guest Arvin about Root Teeth, RTRs, and all things in between. Arvin will be joining us in a little while during our interview segment, but in the meantime it's back to our usual shenanigans of telling him to be quiet while we talk. What's up, everybody?
Not a lot.
No. I don't like that. I have a question, just while we're on the introduction side of things. Am I allowed to call you Sean now, because the other Sean isn't here? Or rather, Leprechaun isn't here?
No, choose whatever you please.
I'm going to call you Susan the Second.
Yeah, no, I am not Justin.
Alright, I'll just call you Sean.
Hello everyone, I'm at the interview section!
What?
He's not in the interview section.
Oh.
I'm not immune to it anymore.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. I have something to say that is more important than anything else.
No.
And that is... Don't you know me? And that is... I heard what you guys said about me in the last podcast.
And remind me.
I even came back. That Optimum... that Optimum Forge Landon kid. I'm coming after him. There is no replacing Cool Katie.
Well, you know, it's too late. The Cool Katie Collective lives on despite your wishes against it. And it will continue to grow as an ever-powerful entity, so you're screwed.
That hurts.
So, what have you guys been up to?
I listened to the last podcast and I really liked it. And I just wanted to say that Optimum Forge, who you interviewed in it, Landon, is a really cool guy. I know Sean and I and Ainsley, when we were in Texas, met him, and he was really, really, really great guy. So I was really pleased that he got to sort of talk more about himself and what he does. Yeah, more people should know about him because, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he does a lot of really cool stuff, and Mega Gamer News is actually just, you know, very informative. So I, you know, wish him all the best
and
in growing that
I
little...
I completely blame him for getting me into Minecraft. Journey Through Minecraft series that he does. That's what got me into Minecraft, and I hate him for it.
Actually, no, I don't. Like his?
No, it's pretty easy. You just look at it and shake your fist, and voila, you hate his face.
I love you, Landon.
She really doesn't.
No matter what these guys say.
Otherwise, she would be calling you Lando. Everyone who loves Landon calls him Lando.
Lando. I actually really like that. It's very Australian.
Yes. It's yes, the character from Star Wars is very Australian.
I thought you were just putting it out on me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're kind of putting yourself out in the firing line. I mean, you've basically, you know, tied the blindfold on yourself and then just started marching right into it.
You're lucky I'm here in the Leprechaun.
Hey, you know what I did last night? I watched Serenity for the first time. Have you guys seen
Serenity? Oh, yes, yes. What did you think?
It's Justin's favorite movie. Ever. And so he basically, I was watching, How to Train a Dragon, and I love kids' movies, they're my favorite type of movies, and so we sat down and he put that on, and he was like, actually, I really want you to see Serenity. I was like, I don't want to watch that movie, it just sounds bad. And yeah, I said, I don't want to watch it, and he's like, please, just really watch it, and he guilt-tripped me into watching it. And I actually really enjoyed it, but I think that's more because the characters, like, the story is good. I think I would understand the story more if I watched the series before it.
Yeah, because the movie itself was really sort of a summation of the series.
Right, yeah, which is what he claimed to me as well. Oh, yeah, no, it's like the character had a lot of actors that I really liked, and then the characters themselves, you sort of really become attached to.
Yeah, they're very likable characters and very quirky.
I enjoyed it, actually. It was a bit, like, frightening to me, but...
What, with the Reavers?
Oh, God. They weren't even that scary. Like, I think the first few scenes, Justin said, there's a part here where a lady starts talking about the law or something, and then a Reaver comes up, pops up behind her, and because I said, what bit should I be careful for? And it came and went so fast, I didn't even have a second to go, oh, my God, because it just sort of flashed up, and I was like, what the hell was that? But, No, I don't know. Like, the Reavers were okay. It was the corpses I couldn't really handle. I don't know if this is a spoiler. It's been out for, like, 10 years now or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
like that,
6 years. I think we'll anyone who hasn't seen it will get over it.
Hey!
Oh, tough shit, you.
No, I liked it. It was good. The corpses were a bit, like, but once you sort of got over it, it was all right. And her flashbacks sometimes are a bit funny, but...
Yeah, River's flashback. So, like, the corpses, you mean that's after the attack on Book's village?
No. The corpses at the, Samanda? The planet that they...
Miranda's corpses, okay, yeah.
Miranda's, that's it, yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, you should definitely watch the TV series if you get the chance, because that was, you know, just... It's all out just fun to watch, and, you know, just humorous in itself. And it only had the one season as well, so you don't have to watch much.
Yeah, I think Justin mentioned there was only 12 episodes or something, and he really wants me to watch it.
Mm. But that also reminds me, you haven't seen Back to the Future, have you?
I haven't seen a lot of things. Like, what's that movie with that guy who goes...
Star Wars?
Whatever. Yeah, whatever that is, I haven't seen that.
You are totally just trying to mess with me right now, aren't you?
No, I've never seen it. Well, I mean, I've seen...
What?
Wait, I've seen the original ones when I was very, very young. I saw them, but I don't really know.
So what, you don't really remember much about the original trilogy of Star Wars?
I don't really remember much of anything of Star Wars.
Are you trying to make my head explode?
No. I walked into when I went over that for Sean. A while ago, and I walked into his bedroom. He has house posters all up around his room, and I'm just like pointing around going, who's that guy? Who's that guy? What does this guy do? What does he do? Who's that? Who does he play? I found out Liam Neeson's in Star Wars. Who knew that? I didn't know that.
Everyone.
Neeson, rather.
Most people.
Most people that have seen Star Wars knew that he was in Star Wars.
Right?
Yeah, but yeah, when you come down to Melbourne, I am going to have to hand you a copy, at least, of Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, right. I might have seen... No, actually, I can't even say that I watched all that when I was younger.
You know what I watched earlier this week? I watched Tron, both movies. Disney recently re-released the DVDs from their vault, and so now Tron, the original classic, is on DVD alongside with Tron Legacy. And if you want something, if you want a really cool experience, watch them back to back. Because it's essentially 20 years of visual effects. No, 30 years of visual effects development in 3.5 hours. And it's amazing.
Yeah, but wow. I mean, you also realize that Tron 1 has actually been on DVD for quite a while.
Don't argue with me, Nightwolf. I haven't been able to find it.
I have.
Disney just released it from their vault.
Yeah. Like, did you even look it up on Google, or
maybe you didn't want to?
That's some pretty shitty looking. If you're trying to find something, you know, a movie you've been dying to see for, you know, several years.
Yeah.
I expect that from Cool Katie because she's absolutely terrible when it comes to using Google. Don't lie to me. You've said this to me before.
When it comes to using anything.
And man, that just makes me, you know, terrified of the fact that I was once in a car that you were driving.
Yeah, but I was on my L. You can't judge me.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I can.
Cannot.
Especially seeing that, you know, 2 weeks afterwards, you explained to me that you had been using the clutch the wrong way the entire time.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh. I don't know how to use a clutch.
Yeah, that's right. You don't even know how to drive a manual, man. I don't know if you know this about manuals, right? Okay. A manual, a stick, whatever, you have to, I was told, my mom, I hope she doesn't listen to this, but she's hopeless. Yeah, she's terrible at teaching, with a lot of older people, when things become ingrained, they struggle to teach new people because it's second nature to them, you know, they don't remember the little things that help them remember. So when my mom was teaching me how to drive, it's basically, your left thumb on the clutch, you've got to slowly release the clutch, to grab the gear and accelerate and so on and so forth, and to brake you need to push the clutch, otherwise the car will stall. And so I was freaking out, man. I'm like, no, this is my mom's toy car. And when I first learned, because I was doing wheelies in a parking lot, not wheelies, but going around.
That'd be pretty impressive, yeah, first go. And
for my first go, yeah. Yeah, I was going around in circles, sort of learning to change gears and feeling the weight of the car. But so I was learning to brake and to accelerate and take off, and like you do with the manual when you first learn. And from that point to a year and a half later, because it took me about 3 years to get my license because I had to do so many hours and it was ridiculously lazy. I had been doing it. I had been changing gears. Sorry, not changing gears, but when I would brake to slow down, even if I'm just going around a corner or going through a medium strip or island, what are they called? I don't know, the things that you go through that you have to slow down. When I was going through them, or a car in front of me would brake and I had to slow down a little bit, I would push the clutch totally in because I thought, if I don't do this, my car's going to stall and I'm going to be really embarrassed. But when I did driving lessons with a proper instructor, he's like, why are you riding the clutch? And I couldn't understand what he meant. And he's like, you keep putting your foot all the way onto the clutch every time you brake. Why are you doing that? When you go around a corner, you keep the clutch in. Why do you do that? I'm like, because that's what my mom said to do. It's like, no, don't do that. So a year and a half worth of pushing my foot into the floor every time I you know, press the brake, I had to reteach myself how to use the clutch. And it was like, I was terrified. It was crazy. It was like, I've got to do this all over again. Coordinate myself. It was insane. To me anyway, because I'm a girl. No, I take that back. To me.
Nope. I'm editing that. It's going to just say, because I'm a girl, and then just move right along.
No.
Take that, feminism. Anyway, did I tell you that bad, like, what happened when I first tried to drive a manual?
Did you do what Trev did?
What did he do?
I don't know if he was driving a manual, but one of the first stories Trev ever told us when we hung out with him was, I can't remember if it was one of the first times he went driving, but anyway, he was laughing about it. He's like, my dad took me driving once, and I was driving, and we were coming up to a roundabout, and I didn't brake, or something along those lines, anyway, and my dad had to rip the handbrake off, but when we looked at where we were in the middle of the roundabout.
I remember that.
Yeah, my God.
Oh, man. Well, no, it wasn't like that. What happened was, it was back when I was in California in, like, 2007. 2008, yeah. And my uncle decided to take me driving in his old Fiat that he had originally bought for his wife. And it was a manual, so he decided to just have some fun to teach my brother Michael and I how to drive. And he took us over to the parking lot out back from this U.S. Army Reserve recruiting center. We just started driving around. And Michael, just, you know, God love him, had no idea on how to properly use a brake. He just kept slamming the brake all the way down whenever he came to a complete stop. So I would be watching them just, like, leaning forward, almost about to, you know, nail the dashboard with their foreheads when they just launch right back into the seats. And he would keep doing this sort of bunny hop start when he was trying to change into first gear. And then when I did it, I was doing pretty well and whatnot. So my uncle could see I was having a lot of fun and enjoying the fact that I was beating my brother at something. So he decided to just mess with me. And while I wasn't looking, like I was checking the rearview mirror and doing all these adjustments after getting in the car again, he put the handbrake back up. So then I started trying to, you know, shift into first gear, and the car would stall. And I'm just like, what the hell is it doing this for? He says, well, just give it a couple more tries, then we'll just, you know, trade drivers out again, and you can take a break. And I was like, yeah, fine. Damn it, now I need to figure out how to do this. Yeah, come on. So I kept trying, but every time the car would stall, and then he would, looked at me and said, oh, wait, maybe it's this, and pointed at the, you know, handbrake that's all the way up that I had failed to notice, and he's got this, you know, sly grin on his face, so he's really happy with himself. I just looked at him and said, you motherfucker.
Nice.
Yeah.
One of the first times I ever drove, it was with the handbrake up. I didn't know the cars could move with the handbrake up, but they can. Well, maybe this one was broken, but it worked.
I've only had one experience where I've forgotten to take a handbrake off, and that was with a new model Turago at work, and the people that had driven it there failed to tell me that it wasn't a handbrake, it was a foot brake. So I'm trying to get this Turago into my warehouse, and it's just going, and I'm like, what the hell? So I get out, check, nothing's behind it, and as we were loading the car up, I mentioned it to them, and they're like, oh no, that's fine, you just forgot to take the handbrake off. I'm like, there was no handbrake. There is nothing in the middle of the car.
I have two stories to tell. One is I really hope my mum doesn't listen to this. I assume she wouldn't. She doesn't really know how to use a computer, except for Facebook and Farmville. But my older brother, we had a Turago. Oh, God. What, it was a massive maroon Turago. I wish I had a picture of it. It was huge. It was like you could kill things with it. It was terrible. But I think we sold it for $200. That's how old it was. Like, that gives you an indication of how bad this car, like, how old and decrepit. And anyway, my older brother didn't have his license yet, but he and his friends were over, and they decided they wanted to see if they could drive it. So while my brother was reversing it out of the driveway, he ran it into a massive bush tree thing out the front of our house, and they demolished it. It was everywhere, and the tree was all awkward and sticking out.
Yeah, that's not something you want to do.
No, it isn't. But the funny part is that he had four friends over, I think it was. And so for the remainder of the night, they had to get the Turago back into the garage without, like, destroying anything, which was difficult because it was a tight fit as it was, because Turago's a huge, my garage was tiny. We had a park sort of about 500 meters roughly away from my house. And so the boys were doing, taking advance to pick up like twigs and branches and whatever, run to the park, dump them in the park, come back, and they'd be like tagging each other so that nobody was left alone at the house. And the other story is Justin doesn't have a handbrake in his car.
Yeah. Does he have a parking brake, like American cars?
It's an emergency brake. It's the one by your feet. And I know if I ever drive his car that I'm going to kill everyone, because I'm going to think it's a clutch, I'm going to push it down because he drives an automatic.
you gotta watch out for those.
Right?
If you try to push the clutch down in my car, it just doesn't go anywhere. There is nothing.
Do you have
there.
A clutch in your car?
No, I don't.
No, oh, that was a joke. I get it.
But if you tried to push it down, then it wouldn't do anything because that's just a solid piece of metal there. Not hooked up to anything.
Yeah. It's like a footrest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've been making a lot of as much use of my car as possible in the last week that I've owned it, and I'm pretty happy with it. I keep finding myself sitting in my car just sort of thinking, hey, I'm driving to the gas station because I have a car.
I found myself sitting in my car driving to KFC.
It's incredible. That was one of the last things I wanted to do when I got my car, was to go through a drive-through at a fast food place.
Really?
They're so tight. Yeah!
You have the smallest car in the world. I was going to say, there was one other funny story about cars I wanted to mention before we finally move on. There was like, did I ever tell you guys about, the first time I got into a car with my brother Michael after he had gotten his P-plates?
I don't remember.
You did not.
Well, if you ever have the opportunity to get into a car with a driver who's an unmedicated guy with ADD, I wouldn't recommend it, but it is hilarious.
Oh, dear God.
Yes. Like, when we first got into the car, we just sort of sat down. I looked at him and I said, Michael, one of your P plates is missing. Said, oh, yeah, it's in the house. I'll go get it. Comes back out, puts the P plate in the rearview mirror, and then he just kind of looks at his steering wheel and handbrake for a moment and says, I left the keys in the car, runs back out. Comes back, we finally start driving, and then it became this sort of running dialogue of me correcting his driving. And it was just like, forgot to indicate. Michael, change lanes. That was illegal. That too is illegal. You're going 10 kilometers under the speed limit. Speeding.
Off the footpath.
That's where cars go. That was a person, not a traffic cone.
You're driving in second gear.
Reminds me of my first time playing L.A. Noir.
That was at my house, wasn't it?
It was.
And you were purposely running pulled down.
Justin said, the good thing about this game is that you can't kill... Oh, the bad thing about this game is that you just can't kill civilians. And at that minute, at that moment, I took a turn far too fast. I swung around my car. The tail of it ended up like killing 3 civilians.
I think that was game over then, and you just decided, you know what, I'm just gonna kill them all and mowing people down.
Yeah, and then I got an official warning from the game, and I'm like, okay.
Oh really? I didn't know it did.
It said, if you do it again, game over, essentially, or something like that. Oh. I don't remember what it said because it was like a week ago now, but.
This is not Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Man, you must have, like, taken a lot of time to mow down those civilians because those guys are really damn spry.
No, that's just the thing. I didn't take any time at all. It was, like, right around the corner. Oh, wow, that's a lot of bodies.
He's like, oh, I think I'll take a sharp turn here.
But, oh, this corner.
It's like you drove into a conga line.
Oh my god. No, it was pretty funny. I think it was I have furniture now, but when Rattles was playing LA Noire, I had very, very little furniture. I literally mean we had my TV, my Xbox, and a beanbag. Glenn put them all together and made himself a little spot while my sister was sitting on some swingy chair that she was kind of doing loops in and waiting for me to make dinner, because what am I talking about? I can't cook. And so I just sat there. He was playing L.A. Noir. I think at the end of the night he said, Katie, you're not allowed to play L.A. Noir on your gamertag, because that's me. That's what I'm doing. Every time I come here, I'm playing L.A. Noir on your gamertag. And I haven't touched it since. But what I did find was Reach. Thanks for putting my Reach CD thing, DVD, what is it, Xbox game, in a different case. I couldn't find it.
Well, I couldn't find your Reach case, so I asked Justin where should I put it, and he said, oh, just chuck it in Fable. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And so I put it in Fable. You should have asked him.
I found it. I was like, oh, because Fable. He opened it up. There's my Reach!
You know what you should do next time, Glenn?
I didn't want to leave it out in the moving house area.
Yeah,
I wanted to put it in a case. You should be thanking me.
Hey, Glenn, you know what you should do next time? Because, I mean, Katie, you have Fable, right?
I have 2 and 3.
2 and 3, okay. So I think it's, yeah. Glenn, next time, go over to her house. While she's busy, play Fable 2 and get the achievement where you get for sleeping with prostitutes. So that way, under okay. Cool Katie's gamer tag, there it is.
I already have it.
Oh, really? Well, touche.
Touche. Actually, Fable is the only game that I have that I haven't played on my Xbox Live. I didn't have. I don't know gamer tag, like which account I played it on for some, but I finished the whole game with a lot of help from my brother. So. My brother and I finished the whole game, and I have nothing to show for it, so I have to play it all over again, which I won't mind, because I like.
Fair enough. Well, on the subject of games, you've been playing Assassin's Creed, Brotherhood recently?
Yeah. No, the first one. The first one. I really like the storyline of Assassin's Creed. I know a lot of people are funny about the first two, I think, that I like. I don't know. But, I really like Assassin's Creed. I like the idea of it. And it's not too gory for me. It's sort of... I don't know how to describe it. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's Assassin's Creed isn't too gory for me. It's... Did you get bored?
Yeah. No, I couldn't keep playing because they have no subtitles. I can't play games without subtitles.
Ah, that's right. I remember that. Actually...
That makes me want to punch you.
I have a story. That it impacts on the gameplay or anything. It's just I can't understand the story if I'm not reading it.
Then read a book.
No, Nightwolf. I have something to say about that. I have at work. There's a bloke that I work with who's hearing impaired. He's deaf basically. I just don't like saying deaf. And he he can't play Assassin's Creed. He was really excited to play Assassin's Creed when it came out. He said. Because he likes those types of games, and he said that he was really upset that he couldn't play it because it doesn't have subtitles. So okay. He hasn't been able to play the first one. Not that he really cares, because he plays the others.
Yeah, well, that I can sympathize with, but, you know, just simply like playing a game because it doesn't have subtitles when you can hear, that infuriates me.
Well, I can hear the characters talking. I just can't understand what they're saying a lot of the time.
Well, why is that, though?
I don't know. It's just the way my brain works.
Don't You're a weird man, Glenn.
I am. I struggle to watch DVDs without subtitles.
That's interesting. Katie, with Assassin's Creed, you know, how far into it are you? I mean, how much of it have you played?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And I was going to try to lie, but I'm pretty much about a tiny bit past the introduction thing. So,
how come you're only so far into it, though?
Because I didn't get to play for that long. I haven't really had a lot of time. Like, today's a public holiday. I don't even know what the public holiday is for.
It's a Queen's birthday for you guys. Oh, no, yeah, Labor Day, sorry. Is it Labor Day or is it Queen's birthday?
It is Labor Day.
Queen's birthday was last time, the last public holiday we had.
Right, because, like, it's different times on in certain states. I mean, we don't actually celebrate a public holiday today in Victoria.
Mm. Yeah, I actually found that out because I was emailing a lady at work who I needed some forms off from Melbourne. And I said, have a lovely long weekend. And she came back and said, well, we didn't actually get that long weekend because it's your public holiday.
And you were like, awkward.
I ended it. She was, go Collingwood. Who won that, by the way? It was awkward until she said, go Collingwood. who won that one?
Geelong. And I only know that because in one of the latest journals I put up, I went through a few different subjects, and the last thing I mentioned was how little I care about the grand final. And so, for some reason, after Geelong won, Tim decided to come to my journal entry and then highlight the subject that I don't care about to announce that they had won.
No,
that was nice of him.
Typical Tim.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice of him. Did you? Did we establish Glenn wasn't playing anything, or he is playing something? What are you playing, Glenn?
The most recent game that I played was Portal 2, just because I wanted the achievement Professor Portal. I am one achievement away from finishing that game, and it's to complete the mass and velocity course in under six. Complete three of the mass and velocity.
Don't hurt yourself. Yeah.
Within 60 seconds. But right. The most recent game that I've started to play was Bioshock.
Huh? The first one?
Yes, the first one.
And how far into that are you?
I'm about the same distance that I got 3 years ago when I started playing on my PC. It took me, 2.5 hours to find the telekinesis plasmid, and by then I was just like, kind of bored with this right now. I'll come back to it later. That was 3 weeks ago.
And so what do you think of it now?
Yeah, it's alright. I don't not like it, but I haven't really played enough of it to get a grasp on the storyline or anything like that. But I will tell you that, once again, I did forget that the water at the beginning of the game was not part of the cutscene. I did sit in it for about 2 minutes before realizing, hey, wait, I can move.
So you're just kind of sitting there going, oh, this wreckage, it's kind of nice. It's very neat.
Yeah, everything's so orange and it looks really nice on the water. No, I remember this part.
Well, we're going to have to jump away from video games for now. So we're just going to bring in our, muted guest for now and start asking questions. Specifically this week, we're going to be asking Arvin and Cool Katie about their involvements in Brew Teeth and RTRs and the street teams.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, right, then, you were just a shit guest.
I'm a co-host. Who are you? That reminds me of something funny, Arvin. I don't know if I actually put it on Facebook. He sent me a message saying, something, 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 boo you whore. And then he sent me a message. No, it was just boo you whore. And then he sent me a message straight after it saying, I hope you know what that's from and you don't think I just called you a whore. It's from Mean Girls. I was like, she's like, boo you whore and hang Coco. Good for you, Hank Coco.
Well, it would have been in the clear anyway because that's one of your, catchphrases.
That's right. Ha ha ha. It was just really funny. So, yeah, sorry. You want to talk about RTOZ?
Yes. So, Glenn, I think we'll just start off with some very simple questions from Glenn here about RTOs and the event and whatnot, because there have been, you guys have had to put up with a lot of very simple and already previously explained questions, so we may as well help clear the air and ask those questions again. So, Glenn, have at it.
Okay. So, when is RTOs?
RTOs is, hi, this is Arvin.
Hi,
RTOs,
Arvin.
Hi. RTOs is on the same weekend as Armageddon Melbourne, which is on the 20th, Armageddon is on the 22nd and 23rd, and we're planning RTOs over two nights, and that will be on the 21st and the 22nd.
So Friday the 21st and Saturday the 22nd.
Okay. You say it's on the same weekend as the Melbourne Armageddon. So are the tickets for RTOs separate to the tickets for Armageddon?
Yes, they are. We unfortunately, perhaps maybe in future, we can do something like that. But even though the event is sort of in conjunction with Armageddon, being that they are opposing nights and the same night, so it being Friday the 21st before the Armageddon Saturday, and then being the Saturday night and then the Armageddon Sunday, the tickets are sold separately, but the tickets are now no longer on sale. So it doesn't matter anyway. But yeah, so you need to get your Armageddon tickets singularly, and you can do that by going to either armageddon.com.au or going to Ticketek online.
Are the RT staff going to be there? If so, which ones are coming?
The Rooster Teeth staff? Yes, there will be Rooster Teeth staff being there, attending the event. And it will be Tony Burns, Joel Heyman, and Brandon. Can't pronounce his last name.
Right,
I believe it's Brandon Farnahimi.
Yeah.
There you go.
All the questions I could think of, because everything's pretty self-explanatory.
All right, well, before I launch into your my own questions and whatnot for you guys, I just want to say congratulations on, you know, hitting 150 attendees, you know, selling out completely on your tickets.
Woo, go us.
Yeah, that was a real shock, actually. Arvin and I were talking about that over the weekend, that we were stoked when we hit 100 tickets and thought, wow, you know, this means that there's a lot of people who want to be here. And as Arvin mentioned on the weekend, we couldn't think of there being any more people who would want to attend the event. So when it hit 100, it was like, okay, wow, we've got 100, but can we get any more? Are there any more people who actually want to come? And when we closed off ticket sales, because we needed to cap it at 150 for a few different reasons, it was more that there were more people who still wanted to come after that. And I couldn't really believe it, and thought that that was really sort of incredible. But I mean, I've always thought with starting Rooteeth and having the main event RTOZ, that we would have more attendees for each event than a lot of other fan events throughout America, in a sense, because this is the only fan event in Australia. So it's not like we have one fan event in Perth and one fan event in Sydney. This is it. There isn't anything else. So my theory was that because the Rooster Teeth staff don't come that often, in fact, you know, I think this year it was the first time in about 5 years, was it? I forget.
Well, I know that the last time I saw them, it was 2006. They had come down to Melbourne, but you know, there was also the fact that, you know, Matt, Jeff, and Griffin came down to Sydney. So prior to that, I think they also, like, Bernie came down at one point to Melbourne, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, so he came down from movie festival or something, short film festival that he came down for, but that wasn't a Rooster Teeth thing. So the last time Rooster Teeth came down was when you men saw them. So that's what I'm saying is because they are in America, it's easier for them to travel around America and go to those fan events and to do, you know, to PAX East and Comic-Con and all that. Whereas Australia, they come down so, like, they don't come down at all, really, that much. So I know they want to more often now. They're sort of pledged to visit us more often because they realise that they do have a very strong fan base here. So I think that it's good having one big event that everyone can kind of come to when they come down, because
Well, I'll be sure to ask you more about that in the next episode we have, because we're kind of running short on time on your end. So for now, I'll just dive into the questions I do have. Also, next week we're gonna have Red Design come on, and he'll talk to us about some of the artwork he's provided you guys, and we'll just continue asking you about RTOS and sort of a ramp up to the actual event. So be sure to stay tuned, whoever is listening.
For those who didn't hear the initial podcast, Redline, he's my guy that reads things.
Oh, that guy's cool.
Okay, anyway.
He's my design
So,
lawyer who reads things.
when you say red design, that design part in his name, that doesn't do anything.
No. It has nothing to do with what he does. He just reads things.
That's what I thought.
All right, so first question. Katie, I'll just go through the questions I have for you while you're still around here. Now, it's common knowledge that RTOS came about as a result of, the Australian Rooster Teeth Street Team. But would you also say that it was, due to your experiences with other would-be Australian Rooster Teeth community groups, like the RVB Australia group that was run by Xenomorphia earlier in the year?
Yeah, I actually would say that that has a lot to do with it. That I really wanted that to work out, and due to a couple of logistic things, that it sort of fell through, which was pretty unfortunate. So I thought that would be a really good opportunity with the staff coming to Australia in February. That what an awesome time to get a bunch of builds and to sort of start something like that. I had no idea that it would snowball into what it has, but I'm. Initially, yeah, it would have been the RVB Australia, sort of that got me onto it. And Scott, who did originally did the website for us and helped me a lot in the beginnings, routine.
And I remember with Red versus Blue Australia that you were very much involved in the planning side of things there. And like everyone was basically trying to get involved in planning, but it just really didn't work out. However, with your involvement in trying to help out with the logistics, would you say that has helped with planning RTOS?
Not really. I mean, I come from a background of event planning anyway, to a degree, with a few initiatives that I have on the side. And so everything that I was doing for, I wasn't doing, a whole heap for Red versus Blue Australia, because there sort of wasn't a lot to do at that stage. But just from my background in a lot of the programs that I want to run in future for the community, I sort of learnt my community consultation.
Okay, so I'll just move on to the next question. So, how has being the founder and coordinator of Root Teeth affected your day-to-day schedule? How much time do you devote to it in the average week now that everything is really sort of forming together?
Funny story. Arvin's telling me to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I nearly got fired because I spend too much time trying to organize the event during my work time. But it's not funny. Like, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. It sort of just goes to show that I am very devoted in what I do. But I spend a lot of time working on Brew Teeth. A lot of my spare time, and I think that that has to do with it just being the first year. I think that next year there'll be more people to help out, and I won't have to do as much. Not I love it and I enjoy doing it. I really, really do. But I think that just because a lot of people don't really know what they can do for it, that I've sort of taken on board a lot of the work. But it's also it sort of doesn't feel like work, so I don't really care that much. I really enjoy doing it because it's a really cool thing, I think, that I'm doing. And it isn't just me doing it, of course, so.
Right, so moving on from there, obviously RTOS is simply the beginning of Rooster Teeth's involvement in the Rooster Teeth community on a large scale. But how will it, how will you further such endeavors, and how would you like to see Rooster Teeth expand?
When I originally started, especially when the website came about, my idea, my plan for Root Teeth is to be the, I don't know what the word is, It's a way for Australian members of the Rooster Teeth community to show their initiatives through Root Teeth. So Root Teeth will be the prime organisation to run. It's an association, so it'll be the prime association to run the fan event Rooster Teeth Australia, so RTOZ. And it'll obviously still run the street teams, which will happen quarterly in every state, hopefully within the next, I want to say 5 years, we'll have a street team established in each state. But I want it to be somewhere that we can promote things like Ozcust and 2300, which is Glenn's comic, as we all talked about in the first one, and Stuntmen, Screw Gamers, the things that people who started their initiatives, started their whatever they're doing through Rooster Teeth can air that through Root Teeth, if that makes sense. So we can sort of promote that for them through what we do, be it the street teams or the main event.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the subject of the street teams, you know, there currently are two street teams, the Melbourne and Sydney street team, the latter being the progenitor. But, you know, are there any ideas right now on how you would see on expanding the number of street teams? Or is it something that you really would like to see as something that happens as Root Teeth sort of expands and fans, you know, come up to you with their own initiatives to get involved?
I think it's a bit of both. I think with RTOZ coming up, with people coming from all over Australia to the event, that I'll sort of find people who, you know, I'm hoping a couple of people approach me and say, hey, I'm from Perth, I really want to start a street team, what can I do? Hey, I'm from Brisbane, I really want to do this, what can I do? But I think it's also a matter of it just being that we expand. So, you know, it might be that somebody joins Rooster Teeth, finds RTOZ, you know, 4 months from now, then hears about Root Teeth and then says, oh wow, actually I really like this and I really want to be a part of it, what can I do? And they're super enthusiastic, and yeah, it just sort of falls from that.
Fair enough. Now, also, just in regards to your preparations for the RTOZ event, how did those preparations initially start? Like, you know, how did it, you know, evolve or snowball?
As in, what was the very first thing that I did in regards to the event, or how did the idea sort of come about?
Well, how the actual preparations itself. So how did that start? What were the first things you started scheduling?
I'm a big list maker, and I think that would have been a huge help. And I also have a logbook that I do everything in. So I think it was a matter of figuring out how many people I wanted to accommodate for, where are we going to put them, what do we want to do to entertain them. One of the very first things that I did for anything else was talk to everybody. So I'm a huge communicator, and I like to, whether or not I forget sometimes, to remind or tell or talk, or I like communicating. And one of the very first things that I did, actually, I remember when we were establishing what to call it. Do we call it RTOZ? Do we call it RVBOZ? Like, what do we do?
Yes.
And actually, we did. We called it RVBOZ and then changed it to RTOZ because Rooster Teeth was expanding and developing past Red versus Blue, and we wanted to incorporate everything. So we just changed it to RTOZ. But it was talking to everybody, and so I wanted to know what they wanted to do, and because we found out that it was going to be in Melbourne, I wanted to know what people would enjoy doing. And I think one of the big ones, actually talking to the Rooster Teeth staff about it too, was drinking. They're like, you have to have alcohol. So it was a matter of finding a place for everybody that factored in the needs and wants of the attendees and the staff, and whilst being affordable.
Totally understandable. I think it's funny that you know, when you talk about how you're kind of natural towards organizing events and whatnot, just because you look at yourself as being a very keen communicator, I think that's very funny to hear, because you're one of the hardest people I know to get in touch with.
Only yes. You text me. Oh, that's a lie. You rang me.
Yeah, that's day. Yeah, oh, that's a me. Complete lie.
Somehow I managed to get things done.
It's a miracle. Anyway, It seems like RTX played a very big role in terms of, you know, the overall planning for RTOS, because you guys met up with the staff at their office in Austin, and I was just wondering, did going to the event itself actually give you any ideas on how to plan RTOS, and just seeing how the event it was, you know, how it played out?
No, not at all. I thought that it would. I kind of hoped that it would, but the way that RTX was set up was sort of more like a giant party, if that makes sense, with a bunch of activities. Because it wasn't, they said that it was their own fan event, but it sort of didn't feel like that. Like, it didn't feel like what I thought a fan event would feel like. Like, the mingling was what I would expect a fan event to be like, and which is what I hope RTOZ will be like. But other than that, they sort of didn't really give me any ideas of how to run our event, other than what I sort of already knew in just thinking logistics-wise.
Oh, okay, that's very interesting. And also, just on that subject of meeting the staff in their office and everything, what was that like, meeting them in the office outside of the event, in contrast to seeing them at the event? Because I imagine they would have been a bit more sober in the office.
It's funny you should say that. Actually, the only person who I knew was drunk on, actually two people who I knew that were drunk, actually drunk during RTX, was Brandon. And Ben was tanked the entire time. He was so
well, I know Joel Heyman was completely wasted on the first night.
But I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell that he was drunk. they hit it pretty well. It was really cool. It was very different seeing them in the office and as opposed to seeing them at the event. But I mean, with meeting them in the office, it's sort of, especially with Bernie, notified how appreciative they are of their fans, if that makes sense. So, and how accommodating they are, how much they want to let you know that, you know, you're the reason that they are as popular as they are. So they really do acknowledge that the reason that they are who they are is from the fans. And so it was really cool, especially with Bernie, when we went in and we were talking about RTOZ, actually. And Sean, I don't know what Sean did. He's like, is this where you record the lines? Red versus blue, and pointing to a door with a microphone, like a little booth with a microphone in it. And Bernie's like, yeah, go in there and do some lines. And we all did lines from Red versus Blue, and he filtered our voices and stuff. And I thought that was really, really cool for him to do that, because he was sitting at his desk doing work, and he stopped what he was doing to talk to us about that, about RTOZ, and about let Sean and us do all the lines. So
I had heard about that. Did you guys end up getting the audio from him on that, or are you still waiting?
No, we did. I never want to listen to mine again.
Really?
I want to listen to yours.
Because, like, you know, Sean and Ainsley have told me that you do a very good impression of Sis.
Exactly. Why I never want to listen to it again.
Oh, man. I'm so going to have to inquire into trying to get to listen to that audio.
Put Ainsley, it in the link, though.
Ainsley's was really good, and Sean's was really funny, because he got in there and straight away, I think the first thing Sean said was, I came here to lease a pipe, bow chicka bow wow, and everyone was just like, oh my god. He did that. It was so funny.
Nice. Okay, so here's a question for both you and Arvin. Also, just to clarify, officially Arvin is the forum moderator and social networking administrator, as well as head ninja of Rooteeth. That is his official label.
Yes. Don't forget the head ninja.
Yes. That's friendly, important. Otherwise,
his head is a ninja. The rest of his body? It's like a Snorlax.
Exactly.
Are you calling me fat?
No.
No, I'm looking at him, and I agree with you, Glenn.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Anyway. So, this is just to tease basically everyone who is and who isn't going to RTOS, but what can you two both give away about the event and lead up to it at this point? What little teaser can you give?
Actually, we can give away one thing. We'll have prizes that are signed box sets of seasons 1 to 6 to give away as prizes, as well as DVDs of each individual season. And little spoiler, I guess, is that we're going to have special edition t-shirts, RTOZ t-shirts in red and blue to give away as prizes too.
Man, blood is going to be shed. Anyway, Arvin.
We're not delivering mistakes at all.
We didn't ask for two black shirts and got one black, one blue.
By accident. That's not what happened at all.
Anyway, Arvin, is there anything you can give away about the event?
There are a lot of dedicated people on board, and it's bound to be awesome. I don't like using the word awesome, but like, there is just no other way to put it. There will be games and such. I think we are planning, is it a Griffball tournament?
I don't know if it's going to be Griffball or just Slayer on Reach yet, but we'll figure it out. There's going to be tournaments either way.
Do we have an open bar?
No, we have drink. No, we don't have an open bar. that will
Can, I, can I refund my ticket then?
Well, you get drink vouchers. You get 2 drink vouchers of either house wine or beer or like soft drink and juice and whatever.
Yep. And finally, just for the both of you here, what are you looking forward to the most about RTOs at this point?
Seeing Brandon drunk.
Watch out, he doesn't hit you. I mean,
don't worry, not that he hit me.
I bet differ. No, no, I'm kidding. At RTX, Brandon, when I was trying to talk to him, or I don't know if I was getting a photo with him or something. Anyway, he hit me a couple times by accident, and he's like, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "You're abusing me." It was really funny. Anyway,
yes, accident, sure.
Accident. I am looking forward to it coming to fruition finally, for it to be, for it to happen. And also to learn from it. Like, I wanna have some surveys on the night for people to fill out to see how they found out about it and what they thought of it, and to see what we can do better for next year. So I'm excited for it to happen. I really am. That's it. I just want it to happen.
You want it to happen, and then afterwards you can finally rest?
Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure that the second that it's over, I'll start planning the next one. Actually, I don't know when the next going to be, so maybe not. Maybe I will have to everywhere.
Fair enough. Summer hibernation will begin for you.
For people actually at the event who want to know more about what's going on and stuff, will there be certain people that they can go and talk to?
Yes, there will be. So the event is going to have 10 volunteers. Is it 10?
I think yep. It's 11.
It's 11. That's right. Because we're making it 15. So there's going to be 11 volunteers who some will have specific jobs and some will just be floaters. They'll have a different color badge to you, a different color on their badge to the general admission tickets. And they're the people that you can approach. You'll have all the information for. We'll be doing a bit of research on Armageddon itself as well, if you have some questions about Armageddon. But they'll solely be there to talk to about the event. And they'll know things, you know, from as little as where are the bathrooms to what's up next on the schedule. Can you tell me, you know, when there's going to be Halo playing or Call of Duty playing, or when we're going to have the panel with the Rooster Teeth staff, and, you know, your general event information. People, and they're there to keep you all in line, you general admissionees, and be drunk.
Yeah, they're going to keep everyone in line up until the volunteers are drunk.
That's right.
That's exactly it. That's why we have an abundance of volunteers and staff, just so, like, I know some of us are planning to get drunk, so
Leprechaun!
I'm sure there will be at least one volunteer who will be sober the entire night, so for those of you who still need questions, who still have questions, you can ask them.
And I'm pretty sure that volunteer is twice the size of a staff member, so that's fine.
He's talking about me.
Bitch, please.
Ouch.
I kid. All right, so that's all the questions I have for the both of you, as well as Katie. So do you need to head off at this point?
Yes, I just moved into my apartment, and I have something being delivered to my house probably about now, so I should probably go home and get that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I will talk to you guys later. Enjoy the rest of the podcast, and thanks for listening.
Well, thank you for coming in. We'll be talking again about RTRs in the next episode, so you'll definitely be back, especially seeing as you're a co-host. Speaking of which, on the matter of co-host, Leprechaun will be back next week. And,
God, that guy.
Yes. So, do it's a full set. To? Unfortunately, yes. It's a proper package, otherwise the show falls apart. Anyway, so yeah, we'll just get straight to it. We've got a few questions for you, Arvin, before we wrap things up. So, once again, Katie, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, so just to clarify once again, Arvin, you are the official forum moderator, social networks administrator, and, of course, my favorite head ninja of Rooteeth. So what exactly does that mean in layman's terms is the question here. I mean, what do you do? What is this, what do your duties entail?
At the start, it was supposed to be that I looked after anyone that had questions on the forums on the RTR side. And to, like, contact people and, like, plug it everywhere that I can. And to look after the Facebook side and the Twitter side of things as well.
And how has that evolved since then? Sorry to interrupt.
It's evolved it's evolved from that to me making my own news posts and posting them when Katie can't. And, you know, answering more questions on Facebook as well and Twitter. Oh, not Twitter. Facebook, on both the RTR's page and the RTR's group, as well as the ARTST Facebook page as well.
Okay, so how did you wind up with that job exactly?
I think it started with where Katie, when she started her full-time job, that she can't keep up with the questions and posts. Like, she wanted the posts to be done during the day. And she can't do that anymore because of her, because of the hours she was working. So she asked one of us. I think I put my hand up and said, I can post it for you if you want.
It was pretty amazing. He's just like, I'll do it. And she's like, okay, you're now an admin.
He is the chosen one.
Yeah, because at that time I only had uni for like a day and a half. I think it was 2 days. So rest of the time free to make posts and answer people's questions, stuff like that.
Fair enough. So, just one last question for you. And what were your initial thoughts of the group back when it was just the, you know, Australian Rooster Teeth Street Team? Did you expect any of what is happening to occur? You know, we have 150 red versus blue fans gathering en masse in just a matter of weeks.
Yeah, it's really it's quite a revelation to think that you know, it's just us kids from Sydney and you guys there in Melbourne to pull, like, I guess, I'm pretty sure we have over at least 50% of the guys going from interstate. So, like, places like Adelaide, and I think we have one from Perth, and some guys from up in Brisbane as well, to come to this place because of something we made.
Also, internationally.
Oh yes, that's right. We actually have one American coming to RTRs.
That's right. That's American, Slayer.
You know who you are. Slayer, yes. Hunter. Yeah, I don't know which one to call him. I call him Slayer. Yeah, he is one of the Americans that said that they were coming.
And are coming.
Lucky for him. I think he is. Yeah, I think he's the only one.
Yes. We've also got a Kiwi, possibly. Do we have a Kiwi coming?
I think we have a couple. No, yeah. We have Soliquin who's coming as well. Soliquin from the website.
Which is really cool.
Indeed.
And also, just a little disclaimer, whenever Arvin says Sydney, in relation to the New South Wales street team, It's New South Wales and ACT, but don't worry about them.
Right. Well, we'll clarify that in the next episode. But, okay, so that about sums things up. Thanks for answering those questions and for coming along for that, Arvin.
No problem. Good to be here.
All right, well, I think that about wraps it up for this week. So thanks for listening in, and thanks for coming on board. And we'll see you in about 2 weeks to further discuss RTOs, in which case it'll be the 15th or 16th as of that recording. So it'll be just about 1 week, or actually really a matter of days away. So it'll be very exciting.
One thing I have to say about organizing this whole thing is I've seen, like, for every news post we posted, there's a lot of people excited about it, and they're coming out with a lot of suggestions and stuff like that. I've just become jaded. It's like, yeah, that's cool. That sounds like more work for me though.
Oh, great. People are excited to meet me and everybody else. There's this huge gathering happening. Oh, wonderful. Fuck.
Exactly.
All right.
So does that mean, Arvin, during the event, you will be the beacon of happiness for everyone?
I will be a lighthouse of joy.
That's good to hear.
All right. Well, in that case, we shall see you at RTOs. In just a couple of weeks away.
Woo!
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 Woo! All right. Thanks for listening. Where's this damn stop recording button? There it is.